Viewfinder is a journalist unit which I think it's doing an extraordinary job in just keeping a close eye. You know, that I can't remember the Latin anymore. Oh dear, my brain is going. Who will guard the guardians? Quis custodius ipset custodii? Something like that. I know it's wrong, but it's something like that. I think they are guarding the guardians. They are just keeping a very close weather eye on the police and making sure that things that happen within the police, well, they're not happening as they should, but they are bringing that to our attention. The latest story out of Viewfinder suggests that police officers accused of rape are very, very seldom disciplined. Danielle Knutze is a reporter with Viewfinder. Danielle, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John, and thank you again for having me.
There have been 1,000 rape accusations against police officers since 2012. So in roughly 10 years, that's 100 a year, one every 3 days, something like that, one every 3.5 days. How many of those have reached a court?
John, what we've looked at specifically is the outcome and whether imprisonment happened from those. And what we found essentially is that about 3 in every 100 of these cases lead to police officers being taken through the entire criminal justice system right down to conviction and sanctioning and being imprisoned on that conviction. So that's 3 out of every 100. 97% from our reading of the data do not go to prison. So that begs the question, what happens to these police officers? And what we've kind of extrapolated on in this article is that even though this is a criminal allegation, even though there is a criminal justice system and a prosecutorial framework in line for it, that isn't working because of a number of reasons external to police accountability in the country, of which DNA backlogs at the forensic sciences laboratories is only one. So we ask, what is the police service then doing itself in terms of ensuring that these officers that are accused, many of them, around a third of them, on duty in uniform at the time that they commit, allegedly commit these rapes, to ensure that they are disciplined and taken out of circulation if indeed they're a risk of reoffending? And what?
But I mean, there are two issues there, Danielle. One is that the issue of innocent until proven guilty. That's why I asked you about the number of that have gone to court. But the other side of this is that if there is an even vaguely credible accusation of rape against a police officer, should that police officer then be taken off duty where there is interaction with the public or any kind of duty at all? And that's why I wondered how many, because if the case has gone to court and the police officer has been found not guilty, will then no quarrel?
Certainly, John. More nuance to this finding suggests that IPED routinely makes IPED, which is the police watchdog, in rape cases, but not, in misuse of force cases in general. IPED investigates, the police outsource this to IPED. IPED then makes recommendations on prima facie evidence to the police service in terms of having to discipline these officers. And what we find is that there's a systemic non-compliance with these recommendations, not just in rape, but in misuse of force allegations in general. So two statistics that came out of Parliament a couple of weeks ago was that the police's compliance with these recommendations, and that's not even taking the disciplinary process to its conclusion, just initiating it and communicating back is less than 50%. Okay. Out of the rape cases that were referred for discipline, 3 out of 30 were actually taken through the disciplinary process to an outcome of guilty. And so there is this broader narrative or this broader dysfunction, which IPED has been quite vocal about, that it's independent ability to provide independent oversight of the police is only as strong as police management's political will to enforce findings against its own members. And that political will has been lacking, is what we found. It is very easy for them to scupper and undo those findings in disciplinary tribunals, which are closed door affairs, incidentally, so there's no oversight in there and no transparency as to why so few of these officers are actually properly sanctioned and convicted within those processes. And that's really what this investigation has focused on.
Essentially, if I may sum it up fairly crudely, the police attitude towards members accused of rape is innocent until we can make the accusation go away.
Well,
you're suggesting that police, by and large, have a default position to believe the police officer's denial than the accuser's accusation.
The police has a default position of outsourcing these investigations when it doesn't need to do that. It can proactively discipline people accused of very serious things. And by discipline, I do not mean convict and dismiss. I mean do thorough internal investigations concurrent to independent investigations, as is allowed and really the prerogative of the police within discipline regulations, and to ensure that if there is a problem officer, whether they be accused of routinely torturing, raping, assaulting, whatever the accusations are, and certainly there are repeat offenders. By the police's own narrative, it's not all police officers that are committing these crimes. It's certain bad apples within the service. And if we look at the staggering amounts of complaints leveled against police officers, there's certainly a routine and repeat offender narrative arising by problem officers. And the police are not dealing with those proactively. First, they're outsourcing to IPED, and then secondly, they're not acting on recommendations and findings which are based on credible and independent investigations into their own officers.
Yeah, I mean, just listening to that, what strikes me is that if the police themselves do an investigation which comes up with a finding that there is a case to be answered to the point where the officer must be stood down from duty, or IPED does that investigation and recommends that the officer be stood down from duty, then surely that is quite close to being a prosecutable criminal case.
Absolutely. There's a different burden of proof in departmental hearings. It's a balance of probabilities that you have to prove it on.
But I mean, if you're going to come up with a recommendation that you believe is going to stand a challenge from the police officer concerned within the fora that are open in this kind of world, then it's pretty close to being a makeable case in a criminal court.
Absolutely. But, John, we see that rape cases aren't being prosecuted, whether it be in the civilian population or whether it be for police officers. And the point is that because of the dysfunction within the criminal justice system on GBV and rape and femicide cases, which Police Minister Deki Cele elevated with his announcement around the backlogs and forensic reports and technical reports on these, that does not mean that the police service is exonerated, really, from dealing proactively with the problem of an abuse of authority within its ranks, which is systemically seen across thousands and thousands of assault allegations, and in the worst instance extends to opportunistic and rapes conducted on duty by police officers, manifestly abusing the power, the privilege, and the trust of their positions as a utility to gain leverage over their victims and to commit these crimes.
Yeah, I look at that figure of 1,000 in the last 9 years, and those are accusations which have been formally made. And you know, if one
of course,
takes
underreporting is a huge issue.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you think about the generally accepted view that a much bigger number of women who have been raped don't report it than do, and then that 1,000 you have to, by virtue of what history tells us and what our culture and society tell us, you have to then go, in reality, that 1,000 is quite a lot higher than that. And that's
absolutely,
that doesn't speak well to the way that our police officers take their duty of care towards the citizens.
Yeah, and as a parting shot, I might just add that we did not just quote that number. We went into the complaint descriptions of 220 of those cases that were against on-duty active police officers at the time of the alleged rapes. And what we found is a pattern of police officers deceiving, abusing the power of their positions, abusing their authority, and allegedly committing rapes against women that have either been entrusted to them for help, for safekeeping, for protection, or have actively engaged them, such as women asking for lifts home late at night from sketchy areas. You know, these are the kinds of cases that were elevated in the data: opportunistic, a manifest abuse of authority and a manifest abuse of the trust and the privilege of the position of being a police officer in society.
Danielle, thank you very, very much indeed. And please keep up the good work with Viewfinder. Danielle Knutzer is a reporter at the investigative journalist unit Viewfinder.